Well, welcome back to another edition of Racing Hotspot. We kind of took a week off without realizing we took a week off, but my name is Devin Poslesny, joined remotely by Mr. Jordan Jenkins. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing good, Devin. How are you today?
I'm doing good. It is Wednesday, May 14th, recording this in the morning. Jordan and I's schedule both just got really, really busy in the last couple weeks, so we're doing our best to get this recorded, and unfortunately it might result in a weird release schedule, but it's all good. We'll get our content out to you guys here as we go. So we're coming out of a busy weekend in Kansas for the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, as well as the NASCAR Cup Series, and also the Indy Grand Prix on the road course. So before we go any further, I'm going to throw it over to my co-host here for Short Track Saturday. Jordan, what happened this past weekend?
Well, I'm going to go to a week prior, actually. So MRS kicked off their season on May 3rd down at Waterford, at the Waterford Speed Bowl. Mm-hmm. Devin's bucket list track he wants to go to, he told me. Mm-hmm. And we had 19 cars in the pits to 17 started, as two broke after practice. And it was green to checkered. It was the first time out of the two races I saw last year with the MRS at Waterford that we ran green to checkered.
Not bad.
And Chris Pastriak ended up getting the win, his first win in 10 years. Not even in just MRS, but like the Tri-Track series and anything else and modifieds.
Nice.
So he led 74, 75 laps, pretty much. He definitely had the best car. Brett Meserve, last year's Rookie of the Year, ended up finishing second. Dylan Izzo third. Joey Mucciacciaro fourth. And Brian Roby fifth. And Jacob Perry finished sixth. And then that was it from that weekend, because Thunder Road ended up getting rained out the day after. But this past weekend, it was still a kind of slow weekend. But Sunday, I was at Star Speedway for the American Canadian Tour in the Pro All-Star Series. Mm-hmm. And it was a hot day, I got to say. It was kind of wild. But the past super late models, the past mods, the New England Super Modified Series, and the American Canadian Tour were all present. ACT actually set a new track record for the series with how many cars showed up, which was 36.
Wow.
And they started 30 of them, so they did last chance qualifiers and consies and all that.
Wow. Too. That's crazy. That's a good issue to have.
Yeah, definitely. It was a long day because, you have two 150 lap races in there, and both 150 lap races were caution filled. But in the past mods, Jacoby Mayne ended up getting the win, and then for the past super late models, Joey Dwyer ended up getting the win over DJ Shaw and Jimmy Redfrew Jr.
Nice.
For the past super late models actually had 17 cars too, which is a good for them.
Yep.
And then in the New England Super Modified Series, John McKennedy ended up getting the win over Matt Swanson, Ben Seitz, and Bobby Timmons was the top four. Russ Wood was fifth. They had 11 super modifieds. Past mods had actually 18 cars, so that was actually really good for that division. But the American Canadian Tour was took an hour and 45 minutes.
Why did it take so long?
A lot of cautions.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Was it like, were they like, I don't want to say petty cautions, like single car spin or anything, or was it just like, for lack of a better term,
no, they were like a wreck fest. They were full on wrecks.
Oof!
Like if there were some cautions that were single car spin, and they waited as much as they could before they had to throw it, because obviously it starts a quarter mile, so there's not really much time.
Yeah.
you know, until the fuel gets back to that car. But, 150 laps obviously is a long feature for short track racing, but Star Speedway is a quarter mile, like I said. So 150 laps should not take an hour and 45 minutes. But, I mean, it was a good race when they were under green. I mean, there was some good drama for the fans that were watching on Racing America and even at the track because, Star has a lot of tractor tires, but like the block them from hitting like edges of the wall and the backstretch adboard. Two cars ended up hitting both of those tires. One was on the rear on the pit egg on the pit entrance, and the other one was head on the backstretch.
Oh,
and then, out of the 30 cars that started the feature, 16 of them finished.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was a crazy one. Well, actually, that's not necessarily true. It's kind of hard. I try to remember because there was a lot of cars like a few laps down, but
yeah,
it was definitely like 8 or 9 cars, 10 maybe that didn't finish. But Brandon Barker ended up getting the win, Jesse Switcher second, and Gabe Brown third. And then Star Speedway is actually back-to-back late model champion Connor McDougal finished fourth after starting 22nd.
Wow.
And Joey Pohl got fifth, Rafael Lazard sixth, DJ Shaw seventh, Derek Gluchaki eighth, Alexander Tardif ninth, and then Chase Curtis 10th. But it's safe to say that the fans had a good one to see because about 20 or 25 laps to go, Jimmy Redfrew Jr. and Eric Sandra battling for the lead. Renfrew Jr., who was the leader, ended up spinning out of turn into turn number 4.
Yeah.
And there was contact with the second place car, Sands. But a lot of people were debating, obviously, because, you know, people got to do that.
Of course.
On whose fault it was. And a lot of people said it was Renfrew's because Sands had the spot, was already at his door, and Renfrew came down and, like, kind of checked down on him. But Sands was there and he spun himself out, but Renfrew did not agree. Guys, Renfrew kind of drove opposite way to the track to block Sands, and he's coming back around.
Wow.
But, So Jimmy Renfrew Jr. is definitely not a favorite guy because he got spun, and I swear to all of Star Speedway, which Star had a few thousand fans there Sunday.
Yeah.
When Renfrew went around, literally, I feel like every fan in attendance like stood up and was clapping. Just kind of like what NASCAR fans did when Kyle Busch went around all the time to JGR and stuff, kind of like that. But it was a good day overall. Pits were packed. I would say Star Hat was at like 90% capacity.
That's amazing.
So. Yeah, it was good. And then for short track Saturday, I have a busy week. Actually, I think it was really my first like busy week. I'll be at Thompson later today, around 1 when pits open for race number 2 for the Monaco Modified Tri Track Series season. And then and it's also a big show at Thompson because RFK Racing's own Ryan Preece returns home, and he's going to be actually running the modified race today.
Sweet.
In his own car that he owns.
Nice.
So he'll be coming back up to Thompson, and I'm sure all eyes are gonna be on that. He's one of 28 cars on the entry list. I also said I might have to interview Ronnie Silk again because I've been talked to him twice now at Thompson this year, and he's won both races that I've talked to him. And he said, and Ron Silk made sure he told me that after the Wheel and Tour race, that I may have to talk to him again to keep the streak going.
That's awesome.
And then this weekend, Friday, Saturday, I'll be at Lee Speedway for the Granite State Gamble, the $30,000 win pro stock race, which has a bunch of other, like, Lee weekly divisions with it, too. And then Sunday, I'll be at Star for our regular weekly racing. So...
That's awesome.
Crazy week.
That's awesome. Well, it's cool to hear that, you know, short track, as I said before, short track racing, the racing scene is alive and well. Because I feel like more times than not, people believe that short track racing is on the down. That said, who knows what it's like in other parts of the country. But I don't, I don't believe that it's having an issue at the moment.
Right.
So, anything else for you as far as short track stuff?
I don't think so. I think that's it. I got everything.
All right. So let's quickly transition over to Indianapolis, where IndyCar ran on the road course, and we'll talk about this, and then I'll throw it back to you for the truck race, because unfortunately I missed the truck race. But I have to admit that I know we're probably looking at almost 10 years plus of running on the road course at Indianapolis before the Indy 500 qualifying weekend, and then, of course, the Indy 500. But, like, every year they do it, when they do it every year, I think to myself, whoever came up with this idea is brilliant. You know, I think that it adds to the hype of the Indy 500. You know, like, you tune in and we're racing, you know, we're racing at Indianapolis, but it's on a different course, you know, and the road course is so technical and fast and really, really fun, in my opinion. It's a great course. And the race itself on Saturday was also fantastic. It lived up to the hype. We've seen wreck fests at this track before. Thankfully, Saturday was not a wreck fest for IndyCar. But it was overall a really good race and really exciting race to watch. But I think, like I said, not to jump back on this horse, but like in the past, we all know the month of May was left exclusive for the Indy 500, which I don't disagree with, but what I will say is it just kind of like made it a month of no racing, you know, like it was practices and open tests and things like that. And now here we are, you know, week two into the month, we have a race at Indianapolis on the road course. It's different from the 500, but it's still at Indy and it's building that hype. And it's kind of similar to what NASCAR used to do with the Clash at Daytona. You know, it's building that hype. So, anywho, my phone is not loading the results of the race. Hang on. Like I said, the overall really good race strategy came into play. It was exciting to watch for sure. Trying to find the results. Hang on, folks. Jordan, what are your thoughts on them running on the road course in Indy while I try and find the results?
I like it. I mean, it's, you know, like you said, it's different because, you know, it's usually the month of May is all for the Indy 500, but since they're running the road course, and it makes sense because, you know, now they're doing all the practices and all that for the next 2 weeks up to the 500 and qualifying and all that. But I like it. I think it's a way better track for IndyCar than it is for NASCAR when NASCAR is running on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just didn't feel like a NASCAR type of road course. That's definitely like an IndyCar type of course.
Right. It's definitely a Grand Prix course. And I'm not sure if it was created for Formula One. I know Formula One ran there for a little bit. But it's definitely, you know, it's technical. It's got sweeping corners, it's got tight corners, you know, and they did modify one of the sections so that now you have a little chicane to go onto the back straightaway instead of the carousel that went back towards the main grandstands. But no, I mean, I I think it's great. I loved how a couple years ago they invested into the course to, you know, make adjustments. Like, you could tell that Indianapolis Motor Speedway said, okay, we want this to stay, but we want to make sure it's done right. And they did what they had to do to make sure of that. Your top five from Saturday's race, it was Alex Palou with the win, Pato O'Ward second, Will Power third, Scott McLaughlin fourth, and Scott Dixon fifth. So definitely an exciting race, like I said. Something else I will say, and I'm not trying to sound like I'm complaining about NASCAR run times or anything, but the fact that the whole race took less than 2 hours. I mean, 85 laps on a road course, and it took an hour and 48 minutes. Like, that's pretty good, especially when you have the, I don't want to say the attention spans of the people nowadays, but to have a whole race end in under an hour, that's pretty good. Or 2 hours, under 2 hours, sorry. So, anywho, any other thoughts from you from the IndyCar race, Jordan?
I didn't see anything on it, so I really don't.
All right. So, I'm kind of in the same boat when it comes to the truck race. I know Carson Hocevar won, but other than that, that's all I got. So, I'm going to throw it over to you, Jordan, to talk about the truck race at Kansas.
Yeah, truck race was pretty good at Kansas. Hocevar ended up winning on a great battle near the end of it with William Byron and Corey Heim. I actually thought Corey Heim was gonna win this one, honestly. He just had the better truck, as he has pretty much all year so far in the trucks when it comes to speed and, you know, race winning caliber trucks. But great. I mean, I'm trying to remember like a lot of it because that was on Saturday, so it's been a little bit. But I mean, from what I remember correctly, I thought it was a good race. Hocevar, it's cool to see him in victory lane. I know it's not for a cup race, but he's had a lot of speed this year in the cup car, and you know, it was always good to see him winning.
Yep.
And Gio Ruggiero finishing fourth. He's a Massachusetts guy, so it's always good to see, locals somewhat run good.
Right.
And have success.
Yeah, for sure.
They only had 31 trucks, though, so it was kind of weird.
That's a short field.
Yeah, it was.
All right. Yeah, I mean, from what I heard, it was a good race. Good racing, good, you know, battles and all that. I think it was good. Any other thoughts on the truckers? I know we're kind of, it seems like we're speed running this, but
I'm trying to think of like, I mean, I don't even remember if there was a lot of cautions in it or anything, honestly. I'm trying to remember. Feels like it's been so long.
Yeah. That's true. It's only Wednesday, but it feels like it's been forever. Okay.
Oh, I did? You know, I think I did.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't. Did I? I don't know if I... No, I didn't watch... I saw a video for a second from the Cup race from Texas, and for some reason I thought it was Kansas for a quick second. And like, oh, maybe I did, because I remember seeing that, but I did not. But, it was a really good truck series race. I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't think anything, like, major happened. Lane Riggs got disqualified. I forgot to remember.
Oh, yes.
It pertained to the bed cover, which I don't know what that means, but I forgot about that. That did happen.
That's right.
So the battle for the one was actually between Riggs and Hosovar, but
I remember that.
yes.
I remember that now. All right. Well, over to the cup race. I will admit, folks, I jumped onto this in the end of stage two. It was Mother's Day. Went out to brunch. But jumped on the end of stage two and, or sorry, end of stage one. And I, at that point, I know I didn't miss much because of the Kyle Larson dominating, you know, the race. But then stage two kind of saw, you know, similar song, same song, different dance. But there were some cautions in that stage. And then the third stage kind of started off with a bang. Kyle Busch goes for a spin. We have a multi-car accident in turn one and two. I think that Kansas lends itself with it being so wide and I don't want to say smooth, but like the transition from the trioval to the apron is so minimal that when you have these restarts, it's kind of similar to what you might have saw at Fontana, you know, when they would all spread out for three, four wide. And I think that was ultimately what was going on in turn one for a little bit was that, you know, you were kind of seeing like the video game type moves where it was like, okay, I'm going to get this guy and maybe I'm not so clear. And then boom, caution. But overall, I thought it was a really good race. One of the biggest things I was excited about when it came to this cup race was the fact that we had tire wear and it was exciting because it was like if the race was three laps more, Kyle Larson wouldn't have won because at the end of that run, you were dealing with tire wear. I mean, who was it? I want to say it's Hosovar. One of those guys actually had a tire go down with two laps to go and was able to get it down, you know, into pit road. But then Larson came off turn number four, coming to the checkered flag, like a couple tenths off his pace because of his front tire going down too. So I don't know what NASCAR and Goodyear did, but I think that it worked. You know, it created comers and goers, and just if I was to be critical, I would say maybe make it so that we fall off about three laps sooner, you know, this way we can't make it a full stage run, you know, or something like that.
Right.
But I think overall it was, you know, really good race. Kyle Larson, obviously, like I said, had a dominating day. He led 221 laps. Christopher Bell finished second, Ryan Blaney third, Chase Briscoe fourth, and Alex Bowman fifth. That's your top five. Kyle Larson did have the Xfinity fastest lap of 30.29 seconds around the mile and a half at Kansas Speedway. So your thoughts, Jordan?
On what?
The cup race.
Oh, yeah. I hate when Kyle Larson wins only just because of the simple fact that it's always dominating fashion.
Right.
So it doesn't make the race very fun. But, I mean, that goes all the credit to Kyle Larson because whenever he wins, you can tell he has the fastest car. He's kind of not, he doesn't appear out of nowhere and win, usually.
Yeah.
But, really good, I didn't think the race was too bad overall. I mean, I know it's going to be overshadowed a lot, like usually is when a driver dominates like they do, but I didn't think the race was too bad.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that overall, you know, I agree with you in the sense of the race might be looked upon as bleh because Kyle Larson, you know, won in a dominating fashion. But unlike other times he's dominated, Bell was not far away. You know, so I think that, you know, you can't take this race for face value. I think you need to look at the highlights. You need to watch the race itself because Larson, yeah, sure, he led 221 laps, but he also was not far ahead of Bell. You know, he wasn't that far ahead of Blaney. You had these drivers who were keeping up, and whether or not that was Larson maintaining a gap, you know, or something like that, I mean, only Larson will know that. But it's like, at the end of the day, you look at it and it's like, this wasn't like Larson won by 2 or 3 seconds. You know, it was Larson won by a couple, like maybe half a second at most. Obviously, he lost a couple tenths of a second a couple tenths of a second coming to the line because of the tires. But overall, you know, he never got that far out. So I don't think you can necessarily say, oh, this was a dominating win, because yes, he led a lot of laps, the most of anybody, but it wasn't like he was just out there by 2 seconds on his own little island.
Right, yeah, that makes sense.
But I think as when it comes to Kansas, they, you know, this was one of the better races there. It's a mile and a half, so you never know what you're going to get, although lately mile and a halves have been doing better as far as entertainment. But I think overall, good race. I think one of the biggest, I don't want to say disappointments, but one of the biggest surprises, I guess you could say, was 2311 racing. I mean, Wallace had some troubles up early, but Reddick was never really a factor in the race, and Kansas has been kind of sort of their bread and butter lately. So, I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
On what?
On 2311 and not dominating or being really in the picture when it came to Kansas.
Oh, yeah. That was a shock because I'm pretty sure that's where 2311 got their first win, if I'm not mistaken, with Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and then I think Bubba's won there too, I think.
Yeah, he did in the 45.
Okay, that's right. So, I mean, I thought for sure, I didn't think they were like a lock to win, but I thought they would definitely be two cars to look at that would have a chance to win. But, I mean, Reddick finished 17th and Bubba finished 33rd, so it was kind of a shock to me. I thought for sure both cars were going to be in top 10, top 5 all day, but fortunately that didn't seem like it. That was the case.
Yeah, I mean, Reddick, hold on a second, I'm trying to get back to my results here. Looks like Corey Heim was the highest finishing 2311 racing car.
Reddick, about Corey Heim.
Heim finished 13th, Reddick finished 17th. And then was Herbst at 2311 racing car this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Why do I keep forgetting about Riley Herbst? He finished 27th. He is a 2311 car.
He finished 27th, and then Bubba Wallace finished 33rd, but he was involved in an accident. So, yeah, I mean, that was a little bit of a surprise for me because they were like, they mentioned how, you know, hey, we're going to kind of stack this race, and unfortunately, the stack fell apart, I guess you could say. Any other thoughts on Kansas?
No, that's about it.
All right. I got one more topic we can talk about.
North Wilkesboro?
No, well, before that. So I guess I have two.
Oh, okay.
So NASCAR announces last week, whether or not it was before or after when we were supposed to do a show or not, I'm not sure, but we haven't talked about it yet. that the championship race is headed back to Homestead in 2026.
Yes.
And then we'll be rotating to, quote, marquee venues around the country. Jordan, your thoughts on this before we dive into it?
I mean, that's what we've been talking about for a couple weeks. That's what a lot of NASCAR fans want, is to go back to Homestead. And, I thought it was, you know, a good decision. I like the rotating style, so it's not like, you know, it's gonna be, the championship will be dominated by a certain team, mm-hmm. you know? Like, Phoenix is dominated by Team Penske.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to see, you know, different tracks every year, and just to see Homestead back on the championship schedule next year. And I love NASCAR's release video with Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski on it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that was a pretty clever way of doing it. So my only question that came from this, because obviously we're both journalists, we're both reporters, in the sense of, we look at something, we go, great. And then we're like, but question. My question is, when you say rotating, are we going between two tracks? Or are we going between five tracks? Or are we going between any track? You know, like, and I assume that we're going to get more information as we get closer, you know, through or go throughout the year. Like, I assume NASCAR is probably working on those finer details. You know, we announced we're going to Homestead. Perfect. And then maybe this championship weekend this year, 2025, we're going to announce where we're going for 2027. You know, or something like that. Because I think that's what, like, they do similar for the Super Bowl, right? Like, they'll announce where they're going 2 years or 3 years in advance, right?
Think so.
Okay. So my question though is, how many racetracks are we looking at, and where are we going with this? And I know NASCAR already came out and said, you know, never say never, but Talladega, Daytona, probably not on the option list. Which I think most race fans said, aw, we understand, but you know, and clearly Daytona is a marquee venue.
It would be funny having a super speedway championship.
No, I agree. And like I said, clearly Daytona and even Talladega, they're both marquee venues. You know, Daytona is a worldwide stage with the Rolex and, you know, all these other events that they host at the facility. But I think NASCAR is definitely going to keep in mind the idea of, do we want a unknown being our championship race, right? Like, imagine the betting odds. It'd be like, okay, everybody's at 200. We have no idea. You know what I mean? Like we have no long shots for this championship four, because they're all possibly going to get taken out in the first accident. You know, so it could create an interesting situation. But, you know, my question is what is the definition of a marquee venue? You know, because we can easily up here in New Hampshire make the argument that we're a marquee venue because we pull from all the New England states as far as fan base, New York, and even Canada. You know, like, we can make the argument, but, like, are we talking, like, marquee venue being, like, Vegas, Homestead, you know, like, destination places? Like, what is the definition of marquee venue? And I assume with time, we'll find out eventually. But that was my big question that came from it.
Yeah, marquee events or venues, I should say. I mean, yeah, I don't know what they're thinking. I think Vegas is probably one they consider a marquee venue. Obviously, Homestead. I guess Phoenix, because Phoenix will be in the rotation. Mm-hmm. Besides that, I can't really think of any what they consider marquee venues, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and they also, by the way, did mention how they don't believe road courses are going to be in that rotation either. But no, I mean,
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, but like, I don't know, because you're right. The tracks you listed, I might even add Charlotte onto it because of it's a home base, you know, and there's a lot of things to do in Charlotte. But like, how do you determine that? You know, and truth be told, I mean, it might be crazy, but I think you could have a cold weather state host it, given the fact that it's the first or second week in November. You know, like, we could see a Michigan championship race. I could see a New Hampshire, Dover, Pocono championship race. Yeah, sure, you're kind of gambling and you're hoping that it doesn't snow early, but we also have the technology nowadays to be able to clear snow away if needed. So I don't know. It's definitely interesting. It's something that I hope evolves and turns into a really good thing. But I guess we'll have to find out.
I guess so.
So anyways, any other thoughts on that championship race announcement?
No.
All right. So let's look ahead. All-Star Weekend coming up. North Wilkesboro, year number 3, I believe, of going back to North Wilkesboro. Always puts on a good show. They did create that promoter caution, which basically means that at any point in the final stage or final 100 laps or something like that, they can hit this caution. They've put this caution out. Door Bumper Clear made fun of it by saying, why don't we just have a race fan stand in the flag stand and every 10 laps drink a beer and then give them the flag. But, like, I don't know. I'm interested to see how that promoter caution goes. Truth be told, I'm interested to see how that works. Who knows what they're going to do exactly, truth be told. But should be fun. I'm hoping that we have a little bit more of a competitive, racier race this year. Last year kind of was dominated by Logano. But we'll have to see. What are your thoughts going into Wilkesboro?
Honestly, there's a lot of racing going on. There's the NASCAR Wheel Modified Tour race Sunday, the Z-Max Cars Tour races Thursday and Friday.
I was going to say, I think the race itself is Friday, and you can watch it on FS1.
Yes.
It's exciting.
Well, there's, and then obviously the Crashman Truck race is Saturday. It's like, there's a lot of racing going on out North Wilkesboro. It's kind of, honestly, it'd be a weekend I'd go to if I was, you know, if I lived in that area.
It is fantastic.
A weekend, not a race.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I think that SMI saw an opportunity and they took full advantage of it. And I think that that is what we're doing here. And I think NASCAR, like, you know, the Cars Tour ran on Wednesday, and then NASCAR said, well, we could make them run on, they could run on Friday. You know, they could run closer to our weekend. Like, I think NASCAR has become very open to the more of the collaboration weekends, which is good, because at the end of the day, similar to like what I say up here in New Hampshire for high school sports, we're all working together for one common goal. You know, like, we're here for us, it's the athlete, you know, it's promoting the athlete, the kids, giving them the best opportunities for their future if they want. For NASCAR, it's promoting racing. It's promoting motorsports. So this way, you know, they have, I don't want to say job security, but you know what I mean? Like, they have longevity in their field. And I think that, you know, including the Cars Tour, Fox Sports working, you know, working with them to broadcast it on a big television network. Granted, it's Fox Sports 1, but like I wouldn't have watched this race this weekend had it not be on FS1 just cuz I don't have Flow. You know,
right.
Like
I
so
have Flow.
I know you do, but I'm just saying like I don't. So point being is like I think it's great. I think it's awesome. You know, obviously the modified tours run with NASCAR before, the big NASCAR series, obviously up here in New Hampshire being one of the weekends, but like to have the Cars Tour come and get involved as well, not being a NASCAR sanctioned tour is huge, and it's exciting, and I think it should be it's a great weekend. It's a great weekend.
The Z-Max Cars Tour Pro Late Model race is Thursday night at 8 on Flow Racing, and the Z-Max Cars Tour Pro Late Model Stock race is Friday night at 8 on FS1.
That's crazy. I'm excited. I have yet to see a Cars Tour race in full. So I'm excited to be able to sit down and watch that.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I mean, should be fun. All-Star race weekend's always exciting. Should be a good weekend.
I agree.
Any other thoughts on Wilkesboro coming up?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, then I guess that's going to do it for this week's show. Jordan, have fun this weekend. Have fun today at Thompson. Have fun this weekend with short track stuff. We'll catch you all after Wilkesboro. All right.
We sure will.
All right. We'll also have an Indy 500 qualifying update because that's this weekend as well. But for Jordan, I'm Devin. Have a great night or great day, everybody. We'll see you all on the next episode of Racing Hotspot.